This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
President Gerald Ford is dead.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Former President Gerald Ford died last night at his home in Rancho Mirage, California. One of the economic challenges he faced while in the White House was a rising rate of inflation of about 7% a year. Richard Nixon had tried wage and price controls, but that didn't work. Ford didn't favor government intervention and instead tried to encourage citizens to win or whip inflation now. Bob Horvath is currently the vice chairman of Goldman Sachs. However, back in the 70s, he was an economic advisor to President Ford. He admits that the win campaign wasn't enough to get the job done.
It was basically a pretty naive policy when you think about it, particularly when you think what was actually required to deal with inflation, as we learned later on. It was mostly a way of saying you were addressing inflation, but not really doing the kinds of things that you needed to do, particularly very tough measures in the monetary area.
Bob Hormats was a monetary advisor during the Ford administration. He's now vice chairman at Goldman Sachs. He says what really helped knock down inflation was double-digit interest rates from the Federal Reserve. Viking Raiders have boarded the world's biggest airline. An investment firm from Iceland called the FL Group has bought a stake in American Airlines. From the European desk, Stephen Beard reports.
FL Group has bought a stake of almost 6% in American. The holding, worth around $400 million, makes FL the third largest shareholder in the U.S. carrier. A full takeover bid is out of the question. Foreign investors are limited to a stake of 25% in U.S. airlines, but FL is clearly expecting more merger activity within the U.S. The $8.3 billion bid for Delta has created a state of flux. Some analysts expect that U.S. regulators may allow consolidation among the big six network carriers. Kevin Doan of the Financial Times says FL is clearly out for a quick profit.
FL Group's track record would suggest that it sees stakes in airlines very much as trading investments. They're willing to get in, they're willing to get out again when the moment is right and the money is there to be taken.
The Icelandic company knows the aviation industry well and made $190 million after staging a raid on the British low-cost carrier EasyJet. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Another depressing headline for the newspaper business. Star Tribune sold for $530 million. The Minneapolis paper is the flagship of the McClatchy Company. Now McClatchy is unloading it to a private equity firm called Avista Capital Partners. If you think $530 million is a lot of money, consider this. McClatchy bought the Star Tribune back in 1998 for $1.2 billion. The price of oil is holding steady at just above $61 a barrel. Oil traders are waiting for a U.S. report tomorrow, expected to show a drop in inventories for the fifth week in a row. Prices fell yesterday as mild weather and the U.S. slowed demand for home heating fuels. And those falling oil prices and holiday sales figures provided some optimism for investors yesterday. As a result, the Dow Jones climbed 64 points to 12,407. The NASDAQ rose 12 points to 2413, and the S&P 500 eased up 6 points. It closed at 1416. And in Tokyo, the Nikkei gained 53 points. This is Marketplace. Time to open up the Marketplace vault and take a peek at this week in the history of business. Two brothers and the silver screen.
This week, back in 1895, a group of Parisians became the first people in the world to buy movie tickets. Louis and Auguste Lumière held the first commercial screening of a film at the Grand Café in Paris. The year before, the brothers had invented a moving picture camera and projector. The first film featured short clips, including one of workers leaving a factory, a blacksmith working, and a baby being fed. The brothers made 2,000 short films over the next 5 years. They even took the camera and films on tour to Bombay, London, and New York. But they eventually abandoned film, thinking cinema was an invention without any future. The brothers turned their attention to a more static medium. They became one of the top producers of still photography equipment in Europe. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. 2006 may go down in history as the year corporate America went green, and not as in dollars. For every banner headline reporting soaring energy costs and warnings about global warming, there was another CEO finding the gospel of environmental awareness. Even Victoria's Secret changed its ways. The company will now mix in a little recycled paper with its racy catalogs, all 360 million of them. Sam Eaton is our Marketplace Sustainability Desk reporter. Welcome, Sam.
Thanks.
Sam, what does it say when even lingerie companies are getting in on the game?
Yeah, I guess printing push-up bras on recycled paper is one way to draw attention to corporate sustainability, Mark. It also speaks to some of the pressure some of these more visible companies are feeling from shareholders and environmental groups to clean up their ways. But I think what's interesting about 2006 is that it's not really the question of morality and doing the right thing that's driving the shift in corporate America. It's all about profits. One of the biggest companies to go green this year was Walmart. It's launched a program to buy only sustainably harvested fish. It's become the world's largest buyer of organic cotton. It's also pushing its vast network of suppliers to cut back on packaging and waste. Now, this isn't a company known for turning a blind eye on the bottom line, and that's why so many people in the business world are watching Walmart so closely.
Okay, so profits and shareholders are pushing for a change at the large corporations. What's causing small businesses to think green?
Two words, Mark. Venture capital. Investors are basically falling all over themselves trying to pump cash into startups that have anything to do with clean energy. Money flowing into the market from venture capital and private equity firms has quadrupled over the past few years to about $2 billion this year. And that's only expected to grow in the coming years as global warming, high oil prices, and energy security concerns drive innovation and demand for alternatives.
Are there risks for companies who jump on this bandwagon?
Well, startups are always risky, and that's been reflected in the market volatility for some of these clean energy companies. Analysts say despite the potential for 20 to 30% annual growth for the sector, investing in the market isn't for the weak of heart. And on the corporate side, we saw this year how a company that reinvents itself as clean and green can sometimes get into hot water. Just look at BP's problems. Here's an oil company that repositioned itself with a logo Beyond Petroleum. So when it had several oil spills this year in Alaska's North Slope, the company found itself in the hot seat trying to repair its image as an environmentally friendly company.
How seriously should we take this trend, Sam? I mean, is corporate America going to save the planet?
Mark, it's a pretty big rock to throw into the pro-environment pond. But I don't think anyone is holding their breath for corporations to drive the changes that are needed to really address things like global warming and energy use. Government will ultimately have to play a role. Many states like California have been stepping in with their own energy initiatives. But so far, the federal government has remained largely absent from the debate. I guess that's one we may be talking about at the end of next year.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks.
Sam Eaton covers sustainability issues for Marketplace. And if you're on the go, you can take us with you because we're podcasting. Find out more by visiting our website. It's marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.